Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I thought about several things I'd like to try to say today, being the first Sunday of the year, but God has so led in this direction that we, by the grace of God, will endeavor to go with Him. And I found out you never go wrong when you go with Him. He's always right. He never changes. I praise Him and thank Him for it. We can look back on 2009, think about a lot of failures and a lot of problems and a lot of things that we wish were different in a year, but there's also been a lot of blessings, been a lot of encouragement, a lot of things have happened, and that's good, and I praise God for that. If we're not careful, we get caught up in the bad and forget the good. And I know I find myself sometimes thinking, well, this problem I got to handle, this problem we need to do something about. And most of them I can't do anything about anyhow. Might as well just go home and say, God, they're in your hands, and you handle it. And what I can do something about, God expects me to, and He'll help me and guide me in that direction to do something about it. But I praise God for the reality that Jesus has everything under control. Everything's right on time. Prophecy just being fulfilled as God said it would. And we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God for the reality of it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. Stand, please, while I read the Word of God. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus, and thank You for the privilege that we have today to be in the house of God. I thank You for all those who have come to visit with us. Some come back home, some just visiting first time, some been here, and then, Lord, for our own people, I praise Your name, and thank You that You let us come here on this Sunday and be in the house of God. Thank You for the singing of the songs and the sweet spirit that has prevailed. And now, Father, as it comes time for preaching, I pray in Jesus' name that You give us that divine touch of God that we need. I pray for the anointing power. I pray, Father, You'd help me today to get self out of the way. And may the Holy Spirit illuminate my mind, loose my tongue. And I pray, Father, help us to think and be able to say what we ought to say. And I pray the Holy Ghost take that word and make it real to hearts. And Lord, how I sense today the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, O God, that You make it real. Rebuke the devil, powers of evil. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And I pray You convict the unsaved. Make it real to their hearts. They need a Savior. And I pray, Father, You draw them by Your power. Help every person that's out of the will of God to see the need, to cry for the joy to be restored. And every person discouraged, be encouraged. Meet us at our need, I pray today. In Jesus' name, I plead, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about this subject today. If you look in verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And I want to talk about what's it profitable for. What is the Scripture profitable for? Now, let me say this and try to say an introduction, and then I want to get into at least the first point of the message. May not get further than that, but we'll come back tonight looking for more from that. But I want to say, as we begin to think about it, the Scripture, thank God for the Bible. We do have the Word of God, inspired, infallible Word of the Lord. It's divinely preserved Word of God, and we have that, and I thank God for it. Amen. I praise God that we have a King James Bible for the English speaking people, and that we have this Word of God that we can read and believe and act upon, has the answers for us for whatever it is that we're looking for, if it's appropriate to be looking for it in the Bible. Now, if you want to know about golf, you won't find that in the Bible that I know of. I never read anything about God from the Bible. Have you, Jason? I don't know. Maybe he has. But anyway, I don't golf, so I don't know. But I've never read anything. But if you want to know about baseball, you read baseball books or golf books. Or if you want to know about football, read somebody that writes about football. And, of course, sports, you know, I find all kinds of things written about sports. And if you want to know about medicine, you read medical books and all that. Now, the Bible speaks on some things. It does say there's paths in the ocean, and there is. They found that to be true. Some scientific things are there that is fine. Talks about the circle of the earth. And for generations and centuries, people thought the earth was flat. But God always talked about the circle of the earth. He knew it was round because he made it. Amen. And whatever the Bible speaks on, you can rest assured it's true. But my point that I'm trying to drive at home is this. If you want to know about what life is about, where you came from, what you're doing here, and where you're going, you need to read the Bible. And we encourage people to read the Bible. Now, here it is the first of the year. And we encourage people to read the Bible through each year. And I encourage you to do that. That's well and good if you do that. And if you can do that, do that. But let me say to you, it's more than just taking the Bible and speed reading it. You can read. I have read chapter after chapter and got through and said I read so many chapters, but I didn't have a foggiest notion what I'd read. Amen. Honest confession, good for the soul. So just speed reading the Bible and to say I've read it through, that's not what it's about. It's reading the Bible to have God speak to our hearts and say what he wants to say to us. Now, good to discipline yourself to read so many chapters a day and read them and meditate thereon. And it's good just to read. If you are speed reading, it's good to do that. I'm not down in that because something will stick somewhere. Something will catch your attention as you do that. I encourage you to do that. But take time to take the Bible and study the Bible and find out what the Bible has to say. I'm really concerned today about the subject of salvation. I've really got that on my mind. You say, preacher, you preach that all the time. I know, but I'm going to preach it again today. You know why I'm preaching that all the time? Because you must be born again. You have to be saved. I don't care what else you preach about and what else subject you pick up on. And there's a lot of subjects we need to cover. And I'm asking God to help me in this year, 2010, to cover those subjects that God had me to cover from the Word of God. I want the Word of God to be our guide, our direction, the Holy Ghost to lead us into it, open it up to us, and show us what we need to see so that we'll have that. Now, why is salvation so much on my heart, my mind? As something's happened recently that made me think a lot about it. And then I'm from time to time running to people about this and have problems with it. And so salvation is something. The Bible is all about salvation anyhow. It's about redemption of man, and it tells us all about that, so we're going to get into that in just a moment, but I want to know. And she just sang that song about that place, and do you remember that place where you were when you got saved? When Jesus became real to your heart, you knew about him, you'd heard about him, you knew of him, but you never really met him personally. Had never become real to you, had never made himself real in your heart, in your life. I pray today that God would help me say something that will help you along that way. And if you're not saved, that you will be saved before you leave this house today. I am concerned that people get saved in the year 2010. Amen. In 2010, I want to see God do it again. Amen. And I'm not talking about being saved two or three times. I'm talking about doing his work of convicting power of God being real in hearts and lives. And not just sitting in a service and not just hearing words going one ear and out the other, but get what God's saying to us that we may know that it's real that we're saved and that we're born again. I'm concerned deeply about that subject. I pray today God, the Holy Ghost, would help me get a hold of that. I have struggled with that, not my salvation. Now, at one time in my life, I did. At one time in my life, I struggled with that, but I'm glad, praise God, the old account was settled long ago. I'm glad it's settled, amen. And but there, there's a ditch on both sides of the road of salvation, and people get caught up in feelings and emotions and what happens and so forth. On the other side, it's a, well, God said this, and I have a mental concept of it. I believe it, so I'm saved. And somewhere there's a correct way about salvation. And there is a correct way because God said there is. There must be Holy Ghost conviction. There must be a work of God. There has to be. And it does feel good to be saved, by the way. There is a joy in being saved. There's certain things happen after you're saved that doesn't happen before you get saved. That's for sure. Amen. In fact, is I'm feeling a little bit of it this morning. Amen. But I am not saved by my feelings. I am saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for me at Calvary in the death, burial, and resurrection of him. Amen. And I praise God for the reality of that. Now, I hope I can get said what I want to say. I'm going to do my best to if you'll pray for me and help me to get it said today. God will help us, I'm sure, as we open our minds and hearts to it. And I realize the fact that I'll not exhaust that subject because it cannot be exhausted. I realize I'll not say everything that could be said and ought to be said. I'll never get it said in this service. But I want to say enough that God, the Holy Ghost, can take it and speak to hearts and that can give you that blessed assurance that you're saved, or else bring you under conviction that you see you need salvation and that you will be saved. I pray for that. 2010, I don't know a better way to start on a first Sunday preaching than preaching on being born again. Amen. Saved by the grace of God. I got on it in Sunday school. I got to locking it out there, amen. And thought, well, should I follow that up in preaching? God said, you better, amen. And so I'm just trying to obey God and talk about these things that God has laid on our hearts and concerning salvation. Let me say this about knowing God and being right with God. Creation itself declares ours God. In fact, it leaves us without excuse. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. I want to give it to you out of the book so you know it's scripture. The word of God. The precious word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse number 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now notice what he said. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's what God said. Brother Gary was sharing with me recently about his son who was hunting and said all he could think about and look around was that God's beautiful creation. And I believe anybody that has a reasonable mind and will look at God's creation would have to say, there is a creator. Why, you couldn't possibly look at the world itself down here and not know there's a creator, much less at the universe itself and all the workings of it and how it works together and how everything fits in place and how they're placed for. And there has to be a creator. And the Bible said because God has manifested himself in his creation, that man is without excuse. And so you can't blame God for being lost. If you burn in hell, you can never blame God for burning in hell. Amen. And somebody said about the heathen, those that never heard, they can't blame God for it because they burn in hell. And the creation itself declares there's God. And if they want to know God, God's got a way of getting the message to them that they can know God. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. If that's not true, then the Bible's not true. And God just said it was true. But notice what happened, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and the foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. He said because when they knew God, they turned from God and they started making images and worshiping images and forgot God. And so man today, I don't care where you find man on the face of God's earth, it's not God's fault they're without God. It's man's fault. He forgot God. He left God out. Somebody somewhere left God out and failed to pass it on to the next generation that there's a true and a living God and how to worship him and to adore him. I declare unto you today that man is without excuse to be lost and go to hell. Amen. But people are lost and go to hell anyway, even though they're without excuse. Now, let me see what the Bible says about salvation. Number one, why men need to be saved. I just mentioned to you, man's without excuse. He is lost. He is lost. No question about it, man's lost. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, I want you to get that verse of Scripture. Make sure you understand what he's saying. Now, sin entered the world by Adam. Adam sinned and brought sin into the world. Is that not true? Is it not true that we came into the world as sinners? Every person in this house came in the world speaking lies. That's right. That's what the Bible said. Every one came in with a sin nature in us and spoke lies. But when we reached an age of accountability, every one of us chose by our own will that you sin against God. Amen. Ain't not anybody sitting under the sound of my voice that has ever reached the age of accountability that has not made a deliberate decision to sin and do wrong and know it was wrong. If it's a boy or a girl and their mom and dad told them not to do something, they knew it was wrong and they deliberately did it, they sinned. Amen. You say, preacher, y'all not talking about little children being sinners. Well, they are. I've got a little great-granddaughter sitting right down there and she looks like a doll baby and takes after her papa. But anyway, great papa. But she's a sinner, sure, so she's sitting there. She has a sin nature in her, and there'll be a day as she gets a little bit older, and mom and dad will tell her not to do something. She'll do it knowing it's wrong. And they'll have to correct her and tell her how wrong that is and try to straighten her out. And so she'll do better. And then she'll tell them a lie. She may have already done it. I don't know. She may have cried like she's a dying. All she wanted was your attention. And so she could get your attention. Amen. That's just as real as I'm standing before you. You say, preacher, that's just primary stuff. It may be primary stuff, but it's good stuff. And you need to hear that stuff. Amen. You need to hear it because of the fact you need to know that man is lost without God. Now, do you believe that today? Do you really believe that man without God is lost? Do you really believe that? I want you to turn with me, please, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 22. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 22. While you're turning there, let me say this. In Romans 3 and 10, for there is none righteous, no, not one. In 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he declared, that's the word of God. And God can't lie. So God said, everybody has sinned, everybody has. And then in Galatians 3:22, but the scripture have concluded all under sin. If God's word concluded everybody under sin, then everybody's under sin. That settles that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad for that promise of Jesus Christ and that we can believe and trust in him and be saved. And so now, where I really want to get to today is what does it take to be saved? What does the Bible say about being saved? And let's deal with that for a little bit here today. Now, there's a lot of stuff said in these verses I want to get to, but I'm talking about what is the Bible profitable for? First of all and foremost, the Bible is profitable so you and I can be saved and know that we're saved. Amen? Amen. It's profitable for that. Anything that's profitable means it's good for you. It does something better for you. It makes you better if it's profitable. Amen. If you're in business and it's a profitable business, then it means you're getting prosperous and gaining something materially by that. And so profitable in whatever area that you're dealing with means it's something better for you. And so the Bible is profitable. I say hallelujah. Look at verse 15 in our text that we read. In 15 says, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Is that not what he said? The Bible is profitable. He said, you've known them since you're a child, and said they're able. Who's able? The Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, I believe it says there. And so that having been said, then I say, let's take the Bible, let's find out about being saved and see what the Bible says. And when the Bible says it, that'll settle it. Amen. When you walk out today, you ought to know whether you're saved or lost. You say, preacher, nobody can know. The Bible says these things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. I praise God for that. I praise God for a day it came true in my life. I could know I had eternal life. I didn't have to guess about it. I used to sit in church and wonder if I was saved. I used to sit at home and think sometimes, I believe I'll make it. I'm as good as everybody else is around me. I do the same things they do. I go to the same church they go to. I've been to the same altar they went to. I went through the same creek they went. I'm baptized in the creek. Through the same creek they went through. But that didn't make me saved. That didn't make me saved. Let's talk about salvation for a few minutes. First of all, repentance. You say, preacher, you don't have to repent to be saved. You don't. The Bible says you do. I believe I'll take the word of God for what he says over what you say. That was started some years ago, this theology out that you didn't have to repent to get saved. As long as you believed, you was okay. And repentance, you know, that come later if it come or whatever. But repentance wasn't a part of salvation. I beg your pardon. Repentance is a real part of salvation, and it must be there. Look at me, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I told you I was going to tell you what the Bible says, not what I say, what the Bible says about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 9. Now I rejoice, 11th commandment, thou shalt give people time to find their place. Somebody told me that one time. And so I try to slow down enough to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now rejoice, and that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Now listen to this. He said you were made sorry, godly sorrow. Now look in verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now here's what he's saying is that repentance has to be there. You can be in a frame of mind and heart, I don't want to go to hell. Anybody in the right mind don't want to go to hell. And I want to go to heaven. Anybody in the right mind wants to go to heaven. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? I mean, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but sure we want to go to heaven. But you can be in the frame of mind and think, well, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And they said, if I believe on Jesus, the devils believe and tremble, but they're not saved. Amen. You know why they're not saved? Because they never have repented. You know why they haven't repented? Because God didn't give them repentance. He gave that to us. Amen. That's enough to run around the building three times about. He gave us repentance. Amen. And godly sorrow in him. Holy Ghost takes the word of God and speaks to our heart, brings that sorrow in us that we've sinned. And not just that you got caught, and not just the sin found you out, but that you sinned against the Holy God. Amen. It's not just that we failed. It's the fact we sinned against a holy and a righteous God. And he's holy, 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 thrice holy God. And we sinned against him. Amen. Now, whatever you did in this world, you may have been a drunk, alcoholic, adulterer, whatever. All that stuff is side things. What you really did was sin against God. And God is concerned about your, I believe Brother Gary mentioned Thursday night, that God was upset, mad, angry at ungodliness, and God is. He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. And God hates sin, but he loves sinners. Glory, hallelujah, what a truth. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. I say to you today, friend, repentance is a part of salvation and has to be. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh to them that be of a broken heart and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. And so a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And if you didn't have that, when you say you got saved, you never got saved. If you wasn't sorry, you sinned against God. And you're just saying, well, I won't have a fire escape here. That's not what salvation is about. It's seeing yourself lost before a holy God. And that God created you and put you here for his glory, his honor. And that you need to worship and adore him. And you can't do it because you're a sinner and lost and going to hell. And ought to go to hell. And you agree with God that you ought to go to hell. You'll never repent until you agree with God. Do you agree with God that you've sinned? Until you agree with God that you're wicked. Until you agree with God that there's no good thing about you. Ain't nothing good about you. Until you agree with God that you cannot do anything to merit heaven. You got to agree with God about that. And when you ever do, you'll be sorry. That's godly sorrow. And that godly sorrow worketh repentance. And repentance is more than just being sorry. Repentance is turning from sin unto God. It is a turn face, amen, turn about. It's a 180 degree turn. It's going one direction, said no, I need to go this direction. And so repentance, true repentance, will bring a change in your life. If you ever really repent of something, you'll turn from it. And so sin in our life, I realize the fact that we still sin, but we turn from sin and turn unto God. We don't want to sin. But our flesh fails us, and we do sin. So first of all, there must be repentance. Number two, I'm going to try to hurry. Just hang with me. I want you to get this. Repentance. Have you really repented? Number two, there must be a confession made. In Romans, well, let's back up to Acts 16:31. When that jailer from Philippi said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shall be saved. And he said he believed. And there must be a confession made, Romans 10:19. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now this confessing and believing goes together. Of course, repentance goes right with it. But I'm trying to tell you the day that if you don't confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're not saved. You can have a mindset about Jesus that he's a good man, came into the world and all of that, but until you really believe it in your heart that he rose from the dead, died for you, took your place, took your sin, and paid your price. And when you make that confession, you know what Peter said? He confessed out to Christ, the Son of the living God. If you ever believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, we just got through Christmas. And a lot of people know Jesus in a manger, but they know he's a baby, and they know he grew up and was a great man, did miracles and all that. And they know about that, but they don't really believe he's the Son of the living God. He's God in flesh. He was not just a good man, did miracles. He was not just some superhuman being. He was God in flesh. And he is God in flesh today. Resurrected, glorified flesh in heaven. He's God today. I say hallelujah, amen. If you ever really get saved, you will repent and turn from sin to God, and you will believe with all your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he did die on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried, that he did raise from the dead, and that you have to trust him to be your Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm glad for the reality and the truth of trusting him. By the way, let me just plug this and end with it. If all this is true, it is. Repentance, confession, and believing. And I was telling the class today about believing. Those 10 lepers, when they started on their way, when Jesus met them, They were crying unclean, covering their face and crying unclean. They couldn't even get close to him. And by law, they had to go show themselves to the priest if they were clean. And so they asked him to cleanse them. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, when they said that to them, they were still lepers. They were not clean. They looked at themselves and they still had the leprosy. They were still lepers. But he said, now go show yourself. And they believed what Jesus said. They believed what the Word of God, Jesus is the Word, by the way. They believed what the Word of God said. And they made a step of faith and started on their way. And while they were going, hallelujah, while they were going, lo, they were cleansed and made whole. Amen. How'd they get it? They didn't wait till I believe I'm clean. I believe I'm all right now. I believe I got it. I believe I'm saved. I believe I am. No, no. When they got saved, God did the work, but they acted on faith. They had to move first. They had to believe what God said. They had to act on that. They ever know they were saved, ever have evidence of salvation, they had to believe that they were healed. Preacher, you're crazy. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible teaches. Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. It may be because you never believed you are saved. Amen. Maybe you got the rest of it right. Have you ever repented? Have you ever really been sorry you sinned against God? Have you ever really confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God? Have you ever really stepped by faith and said, God, I believe what you said. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe it with all my heart. I repent of my sin. I'm wicked, dirty, filthy. I ought to go to hell. I'm asking you to save me. And by faith, I'm thanking you for it and saying I'm saved. I remember my father-in-law telling me about being saved years ago. And he's on in glory now. But he said, Ray, I went to the altar and said I was under conviction. I knew I needed to get saved, but I didn't know what to do. And said there's one man on one side of me saying, hold on. His name was Ralph, my father. Said, Ralph, hold on. The other man on the other side was saying, Ralph, turn loose. He said, I didn't know where to hold on or turn loose. And I didn't know what they were talking about. And said, finally I reached a place in my life where I knew that I had to do something. I said, Lord, I'm just going to believe I'm saved. If I go to hell, I'm going to believe and I'm saved. He said, as soon as he said that, as soon as he meant that with all of his heart, God assured him he was saved. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what happened? He reached a point where he said, it's not me. It's not what he says or what he says. It's just the fact I'm going to trust Jesus for everything. And know I'm saved. Glory to God. I hope that gets through to you. I'm glad I got saved. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Hey, amen. You can't be double-minded about this thing. Come cleanse your hands, you sinners. Come and let God save you. Get right with God. Get saved. Get born in the family of God. And know you're saved. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I don't need that this morning. Hey, somebody here does need it. Hey, somebody sitting here today has made profession, but they've never really been saved. Hey, people here today never made professions and need to be saved. I want you to know you're saved. Saved, saved. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth. Amen. Submit yourself to God. Nobody ever got saved by saying, Lord, I want you to save me, but I don't want to do this. I don't want to quit that. And I want you to save me, but I want to continue my old lifestyle. Nobody ever got saved that way. You may not have put it in words. You may not have said it out audibly. But what you said in your heart, if you ever really got saved, was, Lord, I give up. I surrender everything to you. It's all you, not me. And I'm yours from here on. If you ever really got saved, that's what you meant. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm glad for the joy of salvation. I'm glad for that peace that God gives. I'm glad for that assurance that God gives us. And over in 1 John 5:13 talks about knowing you're saved, saying that you may know that you have eternal life because you believe on the Son. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking, just myself and God. How many in the house today, now be honest with me, with God, and with yourself, could honestly say beyond a shadow of a doubt, preacher, I know there was a time and a place in my life where I saw myself lost, and I didn't just come part of the way, but I repented, and I trusted Jesus, and I really gave him my all, and believed I saved because of the scriptures, what God said about it, not my feelings, but the Holy Spirit did do the convicting. He did do the drawing. But I know I'm saved because of what God's word says and what happened in my heart and my life. I know I'm saved. Would you hold your hand up high, please? I know I'm saved. Hold it up high. It'd do you good to wave it. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good. You can put them down. You can put them down. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, I wasn't trying to embarrass anybody. I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to help you. But I wonder if there's somebody here today say, preacher, I do not know. I do not know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I'd like to slip your hand up, take it back down just for that. Say, pray for me. I won't save you, but it'll be a step in the right direction. At least you're acknowledging it. Would you slip your hand up and take it right back down anywhere in this house? Anywhere. I know that's a hard thing to do sometimes. Somebody here today say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but my life's not where it needs to be with God. I realize that fact. I'm concerned enough to raise my hand and say, pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. See that one. God bless you. God help you. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would take the word of God and speak to hearts. Lord, I believe so much in my heart that there are those here that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved. They need to be saved. Lord, we have endeavored by the word of God to share with them what you share with us. I pray you'd help them to know the word of God's profitable for salvation. Help them now, Father, I pray. Then, Lord, I pray today that you touch the hearts of every individual that may not have raised your hands, but they know they're lost. Speak to their hearts. Then those that are here raised their hands and said, I'm saved, but I realize I'm not where I need to be with God. Father, I pray you'd help them this day, this first Sunday of 2010. I pray they'd come to an old-fashioned altar and just talk to you about it and let you help them. Thank you, Lord, you said that if we confess our sins, you're just and able to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, Father, you promise that you guide us and direct us and help us. They may need direction in their lives. They may need help in their lives. I pray they'll come and let you do for them what needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.